Would you open a Bible with me back to Hebrews chapter 11? As we ponder love so amazing, love so divine, I invite you to open your Bible back there to Hebrews 11. I'd like to talk with you about that very idea and several others using Hebrews chapter 11, maybe a verse or two just before that and a verse or two just after that, but if you can find that in your Bible, maybe you've got a brand new Bible this morning. We'll break that in by reading together from Hebrews chapter 11 in just a few moments. It's so good to see you and to be with you this morning. Thank you for being here. I hope as members of this church family, I know undoubtedly you will remember many things from the year 2020, but I hope among those things you remember this phrase that we have used so often throughout this year, "Now I see." We have followed that thread in a variety of different directions this year. And as much as I can, I'd like to try and tie a bow on that thread before, Lord willing, we move on next Sunday to a new focal point for the year. Obviously, you will hear much more about that to come. But I'd like to follow that thread in many ways to its end and use it to try and get you to see the view from the finish line. Is your Bible open there to Hebrews chapter 11? Begin reading with me in verse 1, where the writer tells us, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And I want you to feel that tension this morning, that we have spent in a variety of ways an entire year talking about, "Now I see," and yet here we are on the last Lord's Day of the year acknowledging readily that faith is assurance of things we are hoping for and conviction of things we cannot see. Why in the world spend an entire year saying, "Now I see," and the last note of the year saying, "You know what? There are things we cannot see." And yet I want you to notice in the next verse, this is not a brick wall that this wise writer hits that, well, you know, we've talked for 10 chapters now about the way that God would have us to live and His will for our lives, but when push comes to shove, you know what? We've reached the end of our understanding and the end of our ability to know what is to come. He readily acknowledges the nature of faith. And yet you notice in verse 2, by faith, the people of old, people who have come before us, many of whom we will just briefly think about this morning, their story that we read about in the Old Testament, the first three-fourths of this great book that you hold in your hand. These people of old, by faith, received their commendation. We don't use that word a whole lot, but we're going to notice it several times throughout our study of God's Word this morning. It's approval. Commendation is someone in authority, someone with expectations who looks on us and gives a good report. You think of Jesus and His famous parable where He says a master looks at certain servants and says, "Well done." That's commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. And so I want you to see this morning what this writer is encouraging all of us to see. There are men and women who have come before us who heard from the Lord God Almighty, well done. How is it that we can navigate through this difficult, dark, challenging, sometimes frustrating world and get to the finish line, whenever that may come in our lives, and stand before the God who made us with all of our frailties and our weaknesses and missteps and at times falling completely on our faces? How is it that we can reach the finish line and hear from a holy, perfect God, well done, good and faithful servant? It's right here in Hebrews 11, by faith. The assurance of things that we are hoping for, the conviction of things we cannot see. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. We'll cheat a little by going beyond what we have as Hebrews 11. We've heard about already these people of old, and now in the language of Hebrews 12 and verse 1, they are described as a great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. Even this very morning, we're being encouraged to visualize people who have crossed the finish line. But I want you to notice, go back with me to Hebrews 11, this time verse 13. And I want you to notice in verse 13 how this great cloud of witnesses who has already crossed the finish line, men and women of old, men and women who are characterized by faith, notice how they are described. Hebrews 11 and verse 13, these all died. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised. You see what we're being encouraged to see? There are men and women who lived all of their lives full of faith. They believed promises of God. The same God that we've been singing about this morning, who is in our midst. And they lived and they endured and they labored and they fought and they struggled and they experienced the highs of highs and the lows of lows. And eventually they died and they never saw with their physical eyes the ultimate fulfillment of God's promises. But it's not that somehow God dropped the ball. It's not that God started sweating in heaven and thought, well, I've let all of these people down. Now what do I do? No, this is the very nature of the life of faith to which he calls us all. And we're being pointed to examples of men and women who got it, who saw, who sacrificed, who lived for a God that they could not see with their physical eyes, and they died having not received the ultimate fulfillment of those things, and yet they saw them. I want you to feel that tension this morning. They died having not received the things that God promised them, and yet they saw them. In fact, they greeted those promises from afar. And now they've crossed the finish line, and it is as if this great cloud of witnesses surround us, and they are telling us, you can see too, all the way to the finish line. I wonder, If somehow we could give some of those men and women a voice and they could describe to us what it is like, the view from the finish line, what they might say this morning. And in fact, that's what they are doing. If your Bible is open to Hebrews chapter 11, we'll pick it back up in verse 3, and we will just listen as this great cloud of witnesses, men and women of faith, describe for us what it's like to see, not just by faith, but to see from the finish line. I think they would tell us this morning, you need to see that you have a creator. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, by faith, this same faith that propelled them forward, by faith, notice the pronoun. We understand. We're not just talking about them or they a long time ago. We're talking about us this morning and what we can understand. We understand that the universe was created. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't just a meaningless explosion that has somehow produced meaningless existence in a meaningless, empty void. We can understand by faith that the universe was created by the Word of God. Notice again, carefully, the language. So that what is seen, what you and I can see with our physical eyes this morning, the rising of the sun, the beauty of the winter frost around us, the trees, what we see with our physical eyes was not made out of things that are visible. When we say, now I see, we're not talking about our physical eyes. We're not talking about things that are visible and yet things that we can see by faith. That's what this year has been all about. I think that they would tell us from the finish line, this creator determines what is righteous and acceptable. You've got a creator and he defines what's right. He's got every right to tell you what is acceptable to him. Verse 4, by faith, Abel, you remember him? You go back in Genesis chapter 4 and you can read all about him. How he offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Well, acceptable in whose eyes? In the eyes of the Creator. And I want you to notice, this isn't complicated to understand. By that sacrifice, through that sacrifice, he was commended. Abel had a creator. Abel's creator had every right to tell Abel what was acceptable. And when Abel listened to his creator and did what his creator says is acceptable, his creator looked at Abel and said, well done. He was commended because God accepted his gifts. Gifts that were offered to God by faith. And I want you again to notice carefully the language. This man lived thousands of years ago, and yet, through his faith, through this simple yet profound example, Abel is still speaking to us today. Can you hear him? Can you hear the power of his example by faith? These people on the other side of the finish line would tell us, pleasing this creator matters more than anything else. Do you see that this morning. Hebrews 11 helps us. Verse 5, another example. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. Why in the world did God take him? Before he was taken, he was commended. There's our word again. God looks at a man like Enoch and says, well done. Good and faithful servant, you are pleasing to me. But I want you to notice where the writer takes us. It's more than, well, here's an interesting man who lived a long time ago. Now, no, this has to do with us. Verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please this God. For whoever, whenever you live, wherever you live, whatever the year is, whatever is going on in the world around you, you see, what we are being enabled to see here is timeless. You've got a creator. He's got every right to tell you what's right and acceptable in his sight. And pleasing him matters more than anything. Anything. And there are people who have crossed the finish line who are communicating to you and to me this morning, you can please him. You can please him. But you've got to draw near to him. You've got to believe that he exists and that if you seek him diligently, he will reward you. The people on the other side of this finish line would tell us in no uncertain terms, listen, you need to pay attention to his warnings. In fact, you need to listen to his warnings even when you are in the minority, with a capital N and capital letters throughout the entire word of minority. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events, here it is again, as yet unseen. Noah had never seen anything like the flood that God was describing. And yet he saw. Because he was willing to listen to God's warnings. God warned him about events as yet unseen. Noah, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. The people on the other side of this finish line would say, you need to follow the lead of this God. Listen to his warnings, follow his lead even when you can't see around every twist and turn in the road of life. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed. And he didn't know where that obedience was going to take him. But he believed he had a God who was his creator, who had every right to tell him what to do. And so he obeyed when he was called out to go to a place that he was yet to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Things unseen. And yet he saw. And if he and his wife Sarah could speak to us this morning from the other side of the finish line, they would tell us in no uncertain terms, this God is the designer and builder of an eternal home. Verse 9, by faith Abraham went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For He was looking to. Do you see how this pulls all of the threads of this year together in hopefully a very simple, not simple all the time to believe, but a simple concept to see. And hopefully through our worship and our study and our praise and our mutual encouragement, we see this God more clearly, in a more focused way on this last Sunday in 2020 than we did on the last Sunday of 2019. We see, even though you and I have not seen this city that Abraham was looking forward to, we understand that he was looking forward to that city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And if he and his wife Sarah could speak to us this morning from the other side of the finish line, they would tell us, trust him. We didn't know how it was all going to turn out. Most certainly we could not see around every twist and turn. Sometimes we laughed when we should have fallen down in reverence. Sometimes we were frustrated and we tried to manufacture the fulfillment of these promises. And all that we did was create a mess and heartache in our lives and the lives of the people around us. But we're telling you today from the other side of the finish line, trust him. Trust that he is faithful to do what he told you he was going to do. Verse 11 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful. She knew she couldn't do it on her own. She knew that she'd never seen a 90-year-old mother before holding a brand new baby. But she considered God to be faithful, and God had made her a promise. Therefore, from one man, and from him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Skip down to verse 17. If this man Abraham from the other side of the finish line could talk to us today, he would tell us about how when he was tested, verse 17, he offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Abraham had never seen someone come back from the dead. But he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Look at verse 20. Their son, their grandsons. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. He couldn't see what their lives were going to be like, but he invoked future blessings. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, talked about the Exodus. Do you see what we're being drawn to? Sarah considered God faithful. Abraham considered him able. Through faith, their descendants had conviction about a future they could not see with their physical eyes. And if they could speak to us today from the other side of the finish line in verse 13, they would assure us this country isn't home. We're not just talking about literal physical countries with literal physical boundaries. This whole land, this whole earth on which we walk, this isn't home. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, And yet they saw, having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged. Right now, we're not living in the fulfillment of what God is saying, but we trust Him. And so we're going to live like strangers right now. We're going to have the heart of exiles right now. And we certainly could settle right here and try and fight in our own strength and root our entire existence right here, but this isn't home. We're seeking a homeland that we cannot see with our physical eyes. But we believe, verse 16, we desire and we believe in a better country, a heavenly one. And God, when He looks at men and women like that, He says, well done. I am preparing a city for him, for her. And so if these people on the other side of the finish line could speak to us today, verse 16, they would encourage us, look beyond the present. I should say verse 23, look beyond the present to the ultimate reward. Hebrews 11, 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, what in the world does it look like to look beyond the present? What's that mean? How do you do that? Just notice the verbs with me. Look for the action words. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, verse 25, Moses made a choice. Rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Verse 26, Moses considered. He considered that what God had in store was greater than all of the treasures that he could temporarily enjoy in Egypt, because you see, Moses was looking to. He never saw it with his physical eyes, and yet he could see and spend the latter portion of his life looking to that reward. By faith, he left Egypt. He endured, verse 28. By faith, he kept the Passover, verse 29. By faith, he led people to cross the Red Sea. In verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled. Not one of those people had ever seen walls of a city fall just because a bunch of people marched around them. And yet they had assurance of things they were hoping for. They had conviction about things they had never seen. They considered God to be faithful, God to be able. Rahab, verse 31, gave a friendly welcome to the spies. All of those examples are speaking to us from the other side of the finish line and saying, look beyond the present. Look to the reward. Verse 32. Would they not from the other side of the finish line say, you're not the first to experience hardship? Verse 32. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured. And they refused to accept release because because they were looking to the ultimate reward. Resurrection to a better life. Others were mocked. They were flogged. They were bound in chains and imprisoned. They had rocks thrown at them until they died. They were sawn in two, killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats. They were destitute, afflicted, mistreated. On the outside, experiencing what most of us can only imagine through pixels on a screen from some remote part of the world. But when their Creator looked at them, He said, the world is not worthy of these men and women of faith who are willing to wander about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And even as they would look at you and me this morning and say, you're not the first to go through hard times, they wouldn't want to conclude before they made sure each and every one of us understood, you also, through your faith, can hear this same God say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Verse 39. All these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us. And so you envision this great cloud of witnesses speaking to you this morning, saying to you, you can do this. You can reach this. Visualize the finish line. Imagine what it will be like to hear your Creator say, well done, good and faithful servant. But doesn't this lead us to the pivotal question of the morning? And that question, as we look at Hebrews 10 and verse 39, is this: which way am I running? Hebrews 10 and verse 39, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are not of that crowd that is always looking back, yearning for days that were better because somehow we believe that's where the ultimate glory lies behind us. No, we're not those who look back. We're a part of the crowd of faith who is in the process of preserving our souls. Therefore, Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. What is it that is weighing you down? As we head, if the Lord wills, into 2021. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely. Do you see the folly of trying to carry sin with you into a new God-given year? Do you see how you cannot carry that across the finish line of life and hear from your Creator, well done. No, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely, and let us run. Don't limp into 2021. Run. Run with endurance, provided by God, fueled by Christ. Run with endurance the race that is set before you, looking to Jesus. And after a year of studies, there it is. Our focal point. A focal point that has not changed despite everything that we have experienced in 2020. The focal point hasn't changed. A couple of days ago, one of my girls asked me, do you think eventually in history books, if there are even history books, in history, however we access that, that we'll read about 2020? I think we probably will. And whatever else is said about 2020 in history, those of us who have lived through it know that in many ways it has been a year of profound sorrow. We have seen the loss of life. We have seen the loss of health. We have watched as many, perhaps we ourselves, have experienced economic hardship, heavy, heavy grief. Examples all around us of ongoing injustice and corruption. And yet, the focal point remains the same. Because, listen, not because just out of habit we come to this building. The focal point remains the same because in deepest grief, our God is not absent. Our God has not been furloughed. Our God has not experienced any restrictions. Our God's work has not stopped. Our God's work has not even slowed down. Our God is not socially distanced this morning. No, because we could not ascend to Him, He descended to us. From the heights of glory to the depths of shame, from the wonders of heaven to the wickedness of earth, from exaltation to humiliation, from the throne to the cross. He is our focal point, as surely this morning as He has ever been, because He is the profounder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. My greatest wish for you is that you would be able to leave this building on this last Lord's Day of a difficult year, knowing that that faith, that's my faith. I'm living as a part of a church family that is practicing our faith. And as we've reflected this morning on the view from the finish line, if you're ready to start running, if you recognize that in your weakness, Christ is ready to wash you clean, forgive you, and make you strong. If you're willing right here and right now to be baptized in His name for the forgiveness of your sins, or if your faith is struggling this morning and we can lift your hands high, we hope that you will see by faith this finish line and prepare to cross it. If we can help in any way along the way, would you let us know by coming to the front of this room while we stand and sing together?